Good to see you all this morning. Let's pray. Father, we come to worship you this morning. Father, as we do, we're conscious of our imperfections. But Father, you look upon us through the filter of Jesus. Father, as we come, in repentance for the things that we've done wrong or not done, that you've called upon us to do, Lord, as we repent, you see us as righteous because of Jesus, and we thank you for that. And so we ask, Lord, that you would accept our worship this morning. May it be from our hearts, Lord. Help us, Holy Spirit, to worship in spirit and in truth. And Father, would you speak to us this morning, so that as we learn more of you, learn to know you better, that we might become more like Jesus. In his name we ask it. Amen. Barbara is going to bring us our first reading, which is from John chapter 14, beginning at verse 15. John chapter 14.
If you love me, keep my commands, and I will ask the Father, and he will give you another advocate to help you and be with you forever, the Spirit of Truth. The world cannot accept him because it neither sees him nor knows him, but you know him, for he lives with you and will be in you. I will not leave you as orphans. I will come to you. Before long, the world will not see me anymore. But you will see me. Because I live, you also will live. On that day you will realize that I am in my Father, and you are in me, and I am in you. Whoever has my commands and keeps them is the one who loves me. The one who loves me will be loved by my Father, and I too will love them and show myself to them.
Last week we were considering the Good Shepherd, and following him, and we're kind of continuing in that theme this week, thus talking about him being our vision and walking close with him. If you'd like to turn with me to Luke chapter 2, beginning at verse 22. When the time came for the purification rites required by the law of Moses, Joseph and Mary took him to Jerusalem to present him to the Lord. As it is written in the law of the Lord, every firstborn male is to be consecrated to the Lord, and to offer a sacrifice in keeping with what is said in the law of the Lord, a pair of doves or two young pigeons. Now there was a man in Jerusalem called Simeon, who was righteous and devout. He was waiting for the consolation of Israel, and the Holy Spirit was on him. It had been revealed to him by the Holy Spirit that he would not die before he had seen the Lord's Messiah. Moved by the Spirit, he went into the temple courts. When the parents brought in the child Jesus to do for him what the custom of the law required, Simeon took him in his arms and praised God, saying, "Sovereign Lord, as you have promised, you may now dismiss your servant in peace. For my eyes have seen your salvation, which you have prepared in the sight of all nations, a light for revelation to the Gentiles, and the glory of your people Israel." The child's father and mother marvelled at what was said about him. Then Simeon blessed them, and said to Mary his mother, "This child is destined to cause the falling and rising of many in Israel, and to be a sign that we be spoken against, so that the thoughts of many hearts will be revealed, and a sword will pierce your own soul too." This is the word of God. I expect the phrase 20/20 vision is familiar to you as describing excellent eyesight. Everybody familiar with that? As we stand on the cusp of the new year of 2020, I wonder how clearly we can see ahead over the next 12 months. That reading described an encounter with a man called Simeon. Perhaps, of Forgot about that. You would like to turn to it now. I closed mine. Did you? We're going to have a look through Luke chapter 2, beginning at verse 22. So if you'd like to keep it open, you might find that helpful. So let's take a closer look. Having been born into a Jewish family, Jesus was circumcised on the eighth day as required by the Torah, the laws given to Moses on Sinai. Leviticus 12, you needn't turn to it, but in Leviticus 12 we're told that after the circumcision of a son, a mother should then wait a further 33 days before presenting him to the priest. Once this purification period was complete, the baby would be presented to the priest together with a sacrificial offering. And this is what Luke describes in verse 22 as the purification rites. So at the time of this encounter with Simeon, Jesus was about 6 weeks old. According to the Torah, the requisite sacrifice was a one-year-old lamb and a pigeon or dove. But the Torah permitted those who couldn't afford a lamb to bring two doves or two pigeons. In Luke chapter 2, verse 24, Luke refers only to a pair of doves or two young pigeons. So it's reasonable to assume that Mary didn't bring a lamb because she and Joseph were too poor. What do we know about Simeon? Well, not much, to be honest. Verse 25 tells us he was righteous and devout. How did Luke know that? I don't suppose Simeon greeted Mary and Joseph with, "Hi, my name's Simeon, I'm righteous and devout." Outside of Luke 2, there are no other references to this man, so we can only guess at the source of Luke's information. But we can be certain that the statement is true, because just like the rest of the Bible, Luke's gospel was inspired by the Holy Spirit. The next thing Luke tells us about Simeon is that he was waiting. Waiting. What for? Luke tells us that it was for the consolation of Israel. That's a funny expression, isn't it? What did he mean by that? Well, you could say that Israel was in a state of prolonged sadness. For hundreds of years, they've been dominated and occupied by foreign powers, and they were looking for something to make them joyful again. Israel needed to be consoled. They needed to be comforted. That's another word with which you can translate the Greek word that Luke used. Perhaps a quotation from Isaiah 40 might help our understanding. Probably familiar words to you. "Comfort, comfort my people, says your God. Speak tenderly to Jerusalem and proclaim to her that her hard service has been completed, that her sin has been paid for." Verse 26 of Luke 2 tells us the form that Simeon expected that consolation to take. It had been revealed to him by the Holy Spirit that he would not die before he had seen the Lord's Messiah. And in verse 30 to 32, Simeon describes Jesus, the Messiah, as the Lord's means of salvation, as a light to the Gentiles, and as the glory of Israel. There's something for everyone here. Jesus, whose name Yeshua in Hebrew actually means salvation, is good news for everyone. Going back to what we know about Simeon, verses 26 and 27 tell us that he heard from the Holy Spirit and responded to the Spirit's prompting. He heard and responded. Thus it was that he came to be in the right place at the right time to greet the Messiah. Have you ever turned up for an event at the wrong time? You could be in the right place, but the event just isn't going to happen until the time is right. Or perhaps you've turned up for something at the right time and wonder why no one else is there, only to discover that you're in the wrong place. Equally unhelpful. If we're going to serve God's purposes, like Simeon, we need to be where he tells us to be at the time he has appointed. As we can see, Simeon was a man with vision. But what was it that had been revealed to him? I've already touched on the fact that God had revealed to him that he would see the Messiah. Perhaps that's all the detail he had before he walked into the temple that day. It seems to me that God tends to reveal his plans a little at a time. And even when he does reveal more detail, we often don't understand it at the time it's given. In July 2000, I was at a weekend conference, which I primarily attended in order to accompany a young chap from my church who needed someone to take him. As it happens, it was a conference about short-term missionary opportunities, and he was interested in having a spell with Mission Aviation Fellowship. Now, at this time, it was about 10 months since I'd been made redundant. A self-employed business opportunity had evaporated. Jobs that I applied for were not producing anything. We had a massive mortgage, a house that needed a lot doing to it, and no money. During the talk at the first evening's meeting, God said very clearly to me that he was going to open a door of opportunity. A door of opportunity. What did he mean? I didn't know. It hasn't happened to me very often, but on rare occasions, God has spoken so clearly it could be an audible voice. And this was one of those equations. Why did I say equations? Occasions. Occasions. Put your maths books away. And there's nothing special about me, so there's no reason it couldn't happen to you. Perhaps it has, and there's something you might share with us one day. Anyway, on this occasion, God didn't give me any more detail than it's a door of opportunity. But in that moment, I was emotionally overwhelmed by the way God spoke to me. I just burst out in floods of tears. And I was eager to discover what he planned. As it turned out, I didn't have to wait as long as it appears that Simeon had been waiting for God's plan to be revealed. When I returned home at the end of the weekend, I discovered there'd been a telephone call from LL Ministries near Lancaster with a request that I call back. It very quickly became clear that it was the opportunity which God had impressed on me so clearly. But I still didn't know a lot of detail, really, as to why he wanted me there. And the next 18 months were a hard time, a time of great difficulties, but a time of great blessing, because we really had to depend on the Lord. Money was, well, miraculous when it came. It was only as the months passed at LL that I discovered God's purpose in having me there. So I think it was probably similar for Simeon. He knew that he was destined to see the Messiah, and there are elements that he may have understood from his knowledge of the scriptures. Remember, he's described as a devout man. I'm sure he spent time looking through the scrolls of the Tanakh, what we call the Old Testament. I suspect that he only had a vague idea of what God was showing him at that time. Simeon's words in verses 31 to 34 may have been inspired by an understanding of prophecies concerning the Messiah. But if so, It was an insight that doesn't appear to have been shared by others at the time. Simeon was definitely in the minority as far as recognising Jesus as the Messiah was concerned. Not just when Jesus was a little baby, but when he was a mature adult embarking on his ministry, doing wonderful signs and miracles. Still, most people did not recognise him as the Messiah. And I'm inclined to think that most of what Simeon says in praise to God in those verses, and prophetically to Mary, were details that God revealed to him in that very moment, and not before. If you search the Old Testament scriptures, you'll find it is all in there, but in advance of the events actually occurring, the meaning is often not obvious. You might say it's a bit like when we read Revelation in the Bible. It's hard to understand, isn't it? And I don't think anybody can justifiably stand up and dogmatically say they know exactly what Revelation is saying. Unless you make it very simple. God wins. But as time goes on, and as some of the things occur that are depicted in Revelation in picture language, we begin to recognise God's hand and say, ah, that's what you meant. And it's like that, isn't it? We can look back at the Old Testament prophecies concerning Jesus and say, ah, we know what that means. But think of Simeon. God had told him that he would see the Messiah. But did he understand what God was revealing through the prophecies in the Old Testament? I think his understanding was probably quite limited. So those words in verses 31 to 34, I believe, came to him under the influence of the Holy Spirit at the time. Verses 34 to 35 in particular strike me as being revealed right on the spur of the moment as Simeon spoke them to Mary. This child is destined to cause the falling and rising of many in Israel, and to be a sign that will be spoken against, so that the thoughts of many hearts will be revealed, and the sword will pierce your own heart, your own soul too. I very much doubt that Simeon had much understanding of how those words would be fulfilled. And we don't know whether he was around as Jesus began his ministry 30 years later. I suspect he wasn't. Otherwise he might have cropped up again in the Gospels, mightn't he? He had done what God had called upon him to do, faithfully. Now, unlike him, we're in a privileged position of being able to read the rest of Luke's Gospel and the rest of the New Testament to see how the meaning of those divinely inspired words were revealed during the course of Jesus' ministry and death, and indeed continue to be revealed since his resurrection. So in answer to my earlier question about how much of his plan God had revealed to Simeon in advance of that day in the temple, I think it's fair to say, in significance, it was a lot. But in terms of detail, not so much. What about us? What has God planned for each of us in 2020? What has he planned for Heron Hill Free Church in 2020? To those questions, I have to say, I don't have a detailed answer. God has not revealed to me much of what he is planning for this year. And we can't be certain of what the next 12 months will hold for us as individuals and as a church. No doubt there will be difficulties to be overcome, and it may be hard to look ahead without trepidation. What I do know is that, like Simeon, we must be ready to respond to the Spirit's prompting. That means we need to be listening to him at all times with a willingness to obey. And if we do that, he will guide us as individuals, as a church. He will reveal each step along the way at the right time, as long as we're listening to him, as long as we are prepared to respond, to follow him as the good shepherd of whom we spoke last week. And another certainty about 2020 is that if we follow Jesus, if we follow the good shepherd, it will be a good year. No matter what difficulties it presents, it will be a year of blessing. For in everything, as Paul says in Romans, in everything God works for the good of those that love him. When I was called unexpectedly to spend 18 months or so at LL, I discovered it was going to be a difficult time in many ways. It was a very difficult time, but it was a time of amazing blessing. And it can so often be the way that the most difficult times are the times when we can see God so clearly at work in our lives, and to know his plan being revealed in our lives is such a tremendous blessing. So to finish, words from Ephesians. To him who is able to do immeasurably more than all we ask or imagine, according to his power that is at work within us, to him be glory in the church and in Jesus the Messiah throughout all generations, forever and ever. Amen.